Welcome to the ESBC Pulpit. ESBC Pulpit is a ministry of the Eastside Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, and it's preaching that comes from the pulpit of Eastside Baptist Church. Hey there, and welcome back once again to the ESBC Pulpit Podcast. We're glad you've joined us for another episode. And this week's episode comes from this past Sunday's service here at Eastside Baptist Church, where Pastor Finley Cutshaw preached a message on our Graduates Sunday, like pebbles from the brook, and a message about the stones that David used in defeating Goliath from 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Preaches this message like pebbles from the brook. Here's Pastor Finley Cutshaw.
1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to tell you a story this morning about pebbles from a brook. Pebbles from a brook. And we're reading about them in a book. Pebbles from a brook. It's actually a story that you're familiar with. It is the story of David and Goliath. And it's a story that's been around for a long time. In fact, the world recognizes this story. How many of y'all have been watching before, maybe a sports commentator, and he's talking about two different opponents, two different teams or whatever, and one team just seems unlikely. There's no way they could possibly win, but somehow they do, and they refer to the David and Goliath scenario. How many of y'all ever heard that before? Yeah. So it's a very familiar story, and it's one of those things that even the world recognizes. But I want us to take a look at it from a little different angle this morning. I want to talk to you about the pebbles from the brook. I preached a message from this passage along these same lines a few years ago. Actually, it's been several years ago now, but I titled it Five Smooth Stones, and we're going to reference some of those same thoughts this morning. But we're going to look at it with a little different perspective. And so I hope that when you read the story from now on, you'll think a little differently about even the stones that God used to bring down a giant. I want you to think about this fact. God created those pebbles, those stones. It refers to them as stones. They were small rocks that you would fit in a sling. By the way, how many of y'all ever used a slingshot when you were a kid growing up? Yeah, probably not one of these, you know, like David used. How many of y'all ever used one of those before? Okay, brother, I should have known the guy that came over on the Mayflower used one of those slings, you know. I saw another hand back there too. But anyway, usually we don't have those kind around anymore. And if you've used one, it's an experience. But we all use the kind, right? How many of y'all made your own? Some of you old timers made your own. Yeah, I tried, but I never could quite get it to work. But when I was a kid growing up, they came out with the ones that had the little wrist thing where it attached to your wrist and had a little extra oomph to it. And I remember when I got my first one, I wasn't even big enough to pull it back to where I could really sling something with it. But man, those things are powerful. You could hurt somebody with those. Now, David didn't have one of those. He had the old-fashioned kind like Bob had, you know. And he would use it in that manner. And there was this was a deadly weapon at the time. But for a teenager to bring down a giant with it was just miraculous. And you know the story. We're going to pick the story up, kind of down into it a little bit. We're going to start at verse number 40. And I want to talk to you about these stones. I'm calling them pebbles. I'll refer to them as stones. But pebbles from the brook, because that's where David found them. And to God, they were pebbles. But I thought about this. God made those stones before He even created man. That's a pretty awesome thought when you think about it. And God knew when He created those stones what they would be used for one day. You know, that tells us something about the providence and sovereignty of God. God had a plan even for those pebbles. Can I tell you something? God has a plan for you. God wants to use you. And you and I as believers, that ought to be our highest desire. Our greatest desire should be that we would be used by Almighty God. And if that's going to be true in our lives, then let me tell you, we need to be like the pebbles from the brook. And I think you'll see that as we go through this morning. Verse number 40, The Bible says here, and we're picking up the story. You're very familiar with it, I'm sure, but we're going to pick it up as David is preparing to face the giant. It says, and he took his staff in his hand. Now, it's describing the things that a shepherd would be carrying, a staff and the sling. It says he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He basically was just amazed that they would send this young boy out to face him. It says, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Notice the little G there. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, notice this, that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. You know the rest of the story. He actually uses the Philistine's own sword to cut his head off, and then there's a great victory in the army of Israel as a result of what David did. Now, sometimes you might think, well, David's the hero of the story. And in a sense he is, but it was because he was yielded to God. Now, the true hero of this story, like all these Old Testament stories where there is a hero, the true hero is God. And they're always a picture, it's a crude picture, if you will, of Jesus and the great victory that he would have over Satan one day on our behalf. But I want you to understand that God did use David, but he also used those stones, those little pebbles from the brook. And I want to talk to you about how God can use us if we'll be like the pebbles from the brook. Let me point out a couple of verses here. Look at verse number 40. Verse number 40. It says, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. Even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. That shepherd's bag would have been something that David wore around his waist or perhaps over his shoulder, but it would have been very close at hand where he could reach in there. You wanted to be able to get to your ammunition quickly. And David was able to reach into that bag. Even while moving, he was able to do it. And if he had reached in that bag and the stones weren't there, guess what? He'd had to go back and collect some stones. But they were there. They were ready to be used. They were in the script or the bag in the hand, if you will, of the master sling thrower. And then you have verse 49 and 50. Notice it with me here. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. Now, you've heard like I have that the armor that the Philistine was covered in basically had only one spot that would have been where that stone could have landed. In fact, I've even heard that it was after this that they started creating armor that came down and had a little metal nose plate that actually came all the way down and covered the forehead and down to your nose. But at the time that David fought Goliath, David was not armed with any armor at all except for the power of God. And yet when he slung that stone, the giant, who actually had an armor bearer in front of him bearing a shield, was covered in armor, but he had one spot right there on his forehead that was susceptible to being hit. And I want to tell you something, it's just miraculous what happened here. And I want to say this morning that it's okay if you and I will be like the pebbles in the brook, because I believe God can use us if we will be. I want you to notice some things about those pebbles this morning. First of all, I want you to notice they were selected for God's purpose. They were selected for God's purpose. Now, God's man David at the time, and remember that these Old Testament heroes, they are a picture of Jesus. Now, they're not perfect. They're not perfect in their imagery, if you will, but they are a picture of what Christ would do for us. We face a giant we could never defeat, and that is the devil and sin. The world also we could put in that category. We can never defeat them. But Jesus Christ has given us victory over all three of them. He's given us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so David in that sense is a picture. But David himself went and he selected those stones. God has a purpose for every person. God has a purpose for every person, just as he had a purpose for those five little pebbles or little stones that David found in that brook. God has a purpose for every person. And that purpose begins with salvation. It begins with salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. And listen, I believe with all of my heart, salvation is God's purpose for every person. There is not a person that God ever looked at and said, I don't want that person. I don't want them to be saved. And I know that because of what Scripture says. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward," listen, "not willing that any should perish," not willing that any should perish, "but that all should come to repentance." God wants every person to be saved. So God's purpose for you begins with salvation. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Listen to that. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." God's desire for every person that's ever been created, that's ever been formed in the womb of their mother, God's purpose for them from the beginning was that they would be saved. God's purpose for you this morning is salvation. God wants you to be born again if you've never been born again. But also God wants to use you. God has a purpose for you beyond accepting Christ as your Savior. Some people look at salvation as a done deal. And it is a done deal. In other words, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're saved for all eternity. But that's not where God wants to end things with you. God wants to use you for His glory and really for your good. He wants to take you beyond simple salvation and use you in a greater way. I want you to see this in the text, how God used this situation with David. And look at verse number 46. And at the very end of the verse, notice what it says there, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That there is a God in Israel. You know what God wants to do in your life? Not only does He want to save you, but He wants to use you to help others realize that there is a God in heaven that you and I live for, and He can change their life like He changed our life. There is a God in heaven that loves them and loves you, and God wants you to be His representative here on planet Earth. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 20, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are put here to serve Him. God has a plan and purpose in your life that begins with salvation, trusting in Jesus Christ alone as your own personal Savior. I was speaking to a couple just yesterday, and I was explaining to them about salvation, and this is what God laid on my heart to share with them. Jesus is enough. You see, some people think, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this. I know that Jesus died on the cross, but boy, I got to do my part. And you know what your part is? trusting only in His part. That's it for salvation. Listen, Jesus is enough. There's a whole lot of religions that teach that you must do this and do this and do this and do this and do it their way or you can't go to heaven. Listen, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? And thou shalt be saved. That's it. Can I say this again? Jesus is enough. Number one, those stones were selected for God's purpose. God has selected you for His purpose. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be a servant for Him. Secondly, I want you to notice those stones were separated unto God's person. They were separated unto God's person. Look at verse number 40, and you see this twice in the text. First of all, in verse number 40, He went with His staff in His hand, and He chose Him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. And then I want you to notice over in, let's see here, in verse number 46, not verse 46, where is it at? I didn't mark it in my Bible. But where David reaches into his bag and he pulls out the stone. David says to the Philistine there in verse number 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And notice it here in verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone. Now I want you to notice the placement here, okay? That's what I wanted you to see. He put them in the bag, and then as he's running at the Philistine, he was able to reach them. Why? Because they were so close to his person. They were right there with him. They were separated unto God's person in order to serve God's purpose. Now think about that for just a moment. Shouldn't God be able to reach down and just grab a hold of us and direct us as He desires? Shouldn't we be close enough to God to hear Him whisper in our ear what He wants us to do? Shouldn't we be separated unto God for His purpose and separate unto Him His person? Who is His person? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the reality is that the idea of separation is kind of a thing that people don't really like to talk about these days. You don't like the idea of separation. And part of the reason is that because we have hammered on standards and things like that, and I think standards are important and we ought to have them. We ought to look right, dress right, and be the kind of people we ought to be. We should be separated from the world. But can I tell you something? Separation comes easier when you understand its purpose. And the purpose of it is to be consecrated unto the one who died for you. To be consecrated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave Himself for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, the Bible tells us there that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ purchased us, and therefore we ought to be yielded to Him. I thought about this idea of separation and the distinction of it as consecration. I just did a wedding recently. I mentioned that to y'all. It was Karis Bentley, now Karis Wheeler, Joshua and Karis's wedding. And I thought about the wedding vows, what they say to each other. And here's what I asked them when I'm doing that wedding. And some of you are familiar with these. Some of you, I asked you these words. I say this, do you solemnly promise before God and these witnesses that you will love, honor, and keep her in sickness and in health, listen, forsaking all others. Hear those words? Forsaking all others as long as you both shall live. You know, I think that believers would not be comfortable in some cases if we maintained our wedding vows like we maintain our separation unto Christ. And think about that for a second. You see, when Jesus becomes your Savior, you are to be consecrated fully and completely unto Him. There should not be things that pull you away from Him. There should not be people or possessions that pull you away from Him or pleasures that pull you away from Him. You are to be consecrated unto Him so long as you shall live. And so this matter of separation brings us closer to the one that purchased us, the one that gave His life for us, so that we are close to Him, so that when His purpose for our lives is we come to that place where He wants to reach and grab us for His purpose, we are available. Separation from the sinful world in which we live is about being consecrated unto the one who died to save us. So these little pebbles, these stones, if you will, they were selected for God's purpose. They were separated unto God's purpose. And then I want you to notice this. They were shaped by God's providence. They were shaped by God's providence. Now follow me with this thought here. There's no telling where these little pebbles started or these rocks, where they started. There's no telling where they began, but they rolled and tumbled in that stream. And the water rolled over them and rolled over them. We don't know how long, but for some time the water had rolled over them and they had tumbled along until they landed right where God wanted them so that a young boy could pick them up one day and kill a giant with them. Think about that for just a second. So you have, first of all, God's providence in their location. God had brought them to this place. He had put them in reach of the one that would need them. Now think about that. That's a pretty amazing thought. I've heard people say, I was born in the wrong century, and I know that's joking, you know. But the truth is, we were all born right where we're supposed to be. I've heard people say, I was born to the wrong family. Nope, you're born right where God wanted you. God placed you in the place and at the time that He wanted you because of His providential care for you. His purpose for you is now. His purpose for you is with the people that you are with. God's providence is shown in that. These stones were shaped by God's providence. Now, there's another characteristic here I want you to think about. What does water do to stone? Well, it wears it. It wears it down. It kind of changes it over time. And I can see that with these stones. I think about this every time I preach from this passage, the sling and the stone. And this was a stone that was kind of used by a young man that had it in a sling where you draw it back, you know, and let it fly. And those of you that have ever done a slingshot, and this was really critical at the time that David lived, was to have a smooth stone. If you put a rough, jagged stone in a sling, it doesn't work very well. In fact, the friend of mine that was shooting, he shot a jagged rock out of a slingshot, and that jagged rock cut into his hand so deeply it cut the tendons. He actually had to have surgery to have the tendons repaired. He was a teenager when that happened. And so he was using the wrong kind of stone in the sling. But God prepared these stones, and He used the water to do it. Now, how does that apply to us? Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Some of you already are familiar with these verses or this particular verse, Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 26. And this, of course, is in the context of Paul is talking about Christ and the church and how our marriages are to picture Christ and the church. And he's speaking particularly to the husband. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Listen, how's He going to sanctify and cleanse it? Verse 26, with the washing of what? Water. By the Word. With the washing of water by the Word. Now, let me just stop and say, baptism is not found in Ephesians 5:26. Every time the Bible mentions water, it's not a reference to baptism. Here it's an illustration of what can be done with the Word of God. The Word of God is to cleanse us and to change us. And you have this picture here, Ephesians 5:26. You know, I thought about this in this context. Concerning the Word of God shaping a life, we usually think of verses like Jeremiah 23:29. Jeremiah 23:29, especially preachers, We like this thought of here. Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? It actually says, is not my word like a fire? And then is it not like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? That's the way we like to picture the word of God. And the word of God is powerful. That's a reference to the power of the word of God. And then we like Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we picture ourselves, preachers, in battle with that sword of the Spirit, you know. We like to picture those things. But do you remember whenever God had Elijah kind of off to himself and he needed to teach Elijah some lessons? The Bible talks about the wind that broke the rocks and the fire that came and all of that majestic, powerful stuff. And then it says, in the still, small voice. And God spoke to Elijah in that still, small voice and changed his direction, changed his plan, and redirected him back into what God wanted him to do. But think about these stones in that brook. How many years did the water roll over those stones before David picked them up? How long had they been being shaped and molded and smooth? And notice what the scripture says here, smooth stones. There was nothing jagged on them, nothing holding them back. They were not dirty. They were ready to be used. Now, here's what I thought about with that. We often don't realize that it is the continuous use of the Word of God that often has a more lasting impact on our lives than the hammer or the sword. Think about that. Now, all of you can remember sermons probably. I think about, you know, maybe you remember the sermon that was preached when you got saved or some life-changing sermon you heard, the message. And sometimes instead of a specific text or a verse, sometimes it's an illustration we remember. And that gets our attention. It's the hammer that breaks and the fire that burns. But you know, the thing that really shapes your life as a believer is continued and constant exposure to the Word of God. It's like it says here, it is a water that washes things away. It'll smooth things out. I remember years ago hearing the story about a young man who was given the responsibility of cleaning a coal basket. Some of you maybe have heard this story before. But a coal basket's like, I picture a wicker basket, you know. And he asked his grandfather, he said, how am I supposed to get this thing clean? It'd been used for coal, to put coal in, and they burned coal at the fire and they would carry the coal in that basket. And you know, if you ever burned any coal or messed with coal, you know how dark it stains things and all that. It's hard to get the soot out of it and all that. And so his grandfather said, listen, go down to the stream and bring me some water in that basket. He said, grandfather, I don't know how that's supposed to help me. He said, just do what I told you. So the boy would run down to the stream with the coal basket. He'd dip it in the water and he'd run back as fast as he could. By the time he got there, the water was all dripped out. And he said, grandfather, it's all gone. He said, go back and get some more. Try again. Over and over and over, the boy ran down to the stream, dipped that basket in the stream, ran back up to his grandfather with an empty basket. Over and over, he never could get water to his grandfather in that basket. And as the little boy finally said, Grandpa, I'm finished. This is not working. He said, son, look at the basket. Guess what happened? The water had cleaned away all the stains from the coal. Listen, you and I need to have exposure to the Word of God over and over and over in our lives. And we discount that. We think it's going to be the hammer that strikes or the fire that burns, the lightning that comes from the sky. No, the thing that God wants to do is have a constant and, I mean, continuous and constant influence over your life from this book so that when He needs you, you're in the right kind of shape and you're in the right kind of place so that He can use you for His purpose. So we see he was used here. These stones, rather, were used. They were shaped by God's providence. They were in the right place at the right time, and the water had had its impact on them. Now I want you to notice one last thing. They were sent forth with God's power. Look at verse 49 again. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I love the Bible's terminology. It makes me feel better about my Appalachian terminology. He slang that stone. He slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Did you know the Bible's the first place that you find this terminology about face planting? You learned something today, didn't you? Face planting began with David and Goliath. First, David planted a stone in his forehead and he planted his face in the ground. But the reality is here, listen, think about this. David, as a teenage boy, probably didn't have the strength to put that stone deep into the giant's head. You talk about a thick skull. I mean, and by the way, we that teach and preach need to understand this. It takes God to get that truth in sometimes, all the time. We can pound on a hard forehead all we want, but until God presses it in, you think about that. One of our professors in Bible college, Dr. Dave Bond, he's with the Lord now, he says this was the very first intergalactic guided missile. He said David slung that stone and he let it go and God just breathed a little bit on it and it went faster than it ever would have gone without him. And it was directed exactly to where it needed to land on that giant. And then he says, and God took his finger and pressed it in. You see, just like David didn't have the power to kill a lion or a bear, he really didn't have the power to kill this giant. But because of all that was yielded unto God. Now, I know I've been talking about the stones, but David was the one that slung them. Remember, he's a picture of who? He's a picture of the Lord and what God would do for us. I find us in this story, we're more likely to be the stones than anything else. In fact, I'm okay to be the stone. I want to be a pebble from the brook that God can reach down and pick up, listen, and send forth with his power. Where do we find that in Scripture? Well, 2 Peter 1:3 declares, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Acts 1:8 tells us this, that we have received divine power in order to be a witness for Christ. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. So this last thing I want you to see in the picture here is that this stone was sent forth with God's power. Now, if God can do this with stones, what can he do with you? You think about it. One of the blessings of the stones from the brook, one of the great blessings of the pebble, it didn't talk back. That pebble had no will of its own. That pebble was simply there for the purpose of the one who created it. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Isn't that what God wants from us? You know, I've grown to admire these pebbles in the brook, and I'd like to be just like that. If God can do this with stones, what can he do with you? We should be like the pebbles from the brook, yielded to his purpose, separated unto his person, shaped by his providence, in particular from his word, and willingly sent forth by his power. Are you like a pebble this morning? If not, you ought to be. And it begins with salvation and continues with that continual flowing of the Word of God over your life. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're thankful today that we can.
Once again, thank you for joining us for the ESBC Pulpit Podcast. We hope that the message today has been a blessing to your heart and a challenge to you as well. If you have questions about what you've just listened to, or if you would like to know more about becoming a Christian, knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, please feel free to reach out to us. You can reach out by email at info@eastsidememphis.net or give our church office a call, 901-372-2583. Once again, that number is 901-372-2583. Join us again next week for another episode of the ESBC Pulpit Podcast.